3.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros.
Welcome back to another edition of Living Room Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Amilcar. What's going on, brother? Having some
difficulties. Yeah, it wouldn't be a show if we weren't struggling at the last minute to fix the audio and video tech, but we got it together.
I know, and I forgot to take off the web browser. I forgot to, take it off, and so that's why I was like hearing double right now. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Anyways, everybody, welcome back. It's Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time in the East Coast. Glad to see everybody back here with us on Leaving the Ring. We definitely got a lot of stuff to talk about. A-Rod, ¿qué pasó? How you doing, brother? I thought we had a great night of Saturday fights. Pretty much what I thought was going to end up coming down. We didn't have a chance to do our prediction or what Danny Garcia had to do, but I obviously thought he was going to be a live underdog, and
we did on the round table on Thursday.
That's right.
Right, Leaping in the Ring round table.
Yes, we did. We definitely did do that. Worked on some new graphics for the show, so I'm still trying to get used to what we're going to put up here. Bear with me. But no, here's the rundown. This is what we got going on. We're going to definitely have to preview Joshua versus Polov, Stevenson versus another guy that nobody really heard of. And then we're going to talk about a very anticipated fight for the new year to start off February after the Garcia and Campbell fight. The big news there, Amilcar, Floyd Mayweather is going to be fighting a YouTuber.
Wow.
For likes and subscriptions.
Wow. And he's probably going to be fighting him for some WBC strap too, right? Maybe probably. Another Black Lives Matter belt.
I think it's going to be like a YouTube award.
Maybe it'll be Trans Life Matter this time. Figure out something new that they could lend your name to.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely, but I think we should just probably go into immediately about Garcia and Spence, the performance of Errol Spence. The worry and the concern about Errol Spence Jr. was really mainly about that car crash and how well has he recuperated? Was he 100%? Was his jaw going to be able to take a punch? And then we end up seeing that he ended up giving up a pretty stellar performance. Let me hear your thoughts and your scorecard on that fight.
Well, I didn't actually score the fight. I probably should have. But off the top of my head, probably gave Danny Garcia maybe four rounds. It's that kind of fight, 8-4, maybe 9-3, maybe 7-5. Anywhere within that range would have been good. I mean, look, Danny Garcia is a counterpuncher. We said it before the fight. His dad mentioned it during the fight.
Yes.
He was waiting to land the perfect shot, and Errol Spence didn't really let him land the perfect shot. And Errol Spence is someone who in the past had kind of, walked back straight after his punches. And, maybe that would have let people think that, he'd be susceptible to that kind of Danny Garcia straight right counter. But he was stepping around him. He was using his jab on the inside. He really didn't give Danny Garcia much room to work. And
no, he didn't.
He was throwing, unfortunately, Danny Garcia wasn't countering enough. Early Sunday morning here in New York, late Saturday night, your time out there on the West Coast, Dave,
right.
Mm-hmm. I did a post fight with G-Funky. And I said on that post fight that I was waiting for Danny Garcia to do what he did in the last 15 seconds of the round, early in the final round, earlier in the fight. Last 15 seconds of the fight, he's throwing combinations. He's going for it. He needed to do more of that if he was going to win.
His dad was asking for that. you know? And his dad, I got to tell you this. I would say around like 5 or 6. Was it me or did Angel Garcia also sounded defeated? You know?
Yeah.
He was, you know, telling his son what he needed to do. Stop giving him that respect. Stop waiting. Stop going to the ropes. You got to fight inside the punches when Spence throws. I mean, he was giving him some really good instructions, you know? I know the commentators were really concentrating on the copy box rather than on the actual action that was happening there. You know, but let me throw this out there. The one thing that Danny didn't do that a lot of us thought he would throw was his favorite punch, is the left hook. He didn't throw that, which I said he shouldn't do is throws that right hand. He was throwing that right hand. The thing is, though, is that Danny doesn't set up punches at all. You know, what he basically likes
to do. He's waiting for the counter.
Right. He wants to counter and stuff. And with Spence, the thing what I like about Spence is that Spence is a classic boxer who creates moments for himself, which you're supposed to do. Okay. He uses the jab really well. He doesn't expend too much energy and he doesn't throw away a lot of punches. Every punch he throws, it has a meaning behind it. He's doing it for a particular reason, either to move you or to flinch and then attack, you know? So overall, Danny Garcia just looked really puzzled. I mean, extremely puzzled in there. You know, he couldn't actually even time Errol Spence. And that was one of my concerns, is could Errol Spence come back with the timing immediately? And right off the bat, I mean, I saw this. You know, his timing was there. The strength was there. And he obviously was showing that, you know what, I'm 100% back.
Yeah, he looked like he was 100% back. Didn't look like he was worried at all about his jaw, which was my main concern for him going into the fight. I mean, we all knew that from what we've seen in the past that Errol Spence Jr. is a higher-level boxer than Danny Garcia.
Yes.
And the main concern was whether or not there would be any repercussions from the car crash. And he showed us that really there weren't. I guess he had enough time to heal up. He definitely had enough time to game plan for what Danny did Saturday night. And I thought it was a very solid performance.
I thought so too. You know, I definitely thought that, you know what, he just kind of picked up where he left off, you know, and it really up against Danny Garcia. I mean, he definitely showed he has the poise. He definitely shows that he still has the IQ up there. Nothing seemed to bother him. Even when Danny did land some good solid shots, you know what, even when Danny was getting that last flurry in the last 15 seconds of the 12th round, I mean, you still saw a very calm, collective Errol Spence in there. You know, I mean, he's at home. When he's in the ring, it's that the one thing that we're starting to see with Errol Spence is that he's really comfortable in that ring.
Yeah, he is. And I just posted in the chat, guys. It's 917-426-8296. If anyone wants to call in to speak to us, we have fixed our phone system and we've got it running smoothly now for anyone who wants to call in. You were saying, Dave?
I'll put that up right there right now. It's up on the screen if you guys want to call in. 917-426-8296. Let's talk boxing here on Leave the Ring. Definitely, let's say, Outlaw, what's up, brother? Chicano Prophet, A-Rod, everybody that came through, thank you for coming through. Sorry about that. I'm over here just grabbing things and throwing it all over the place here.
And he was countering good. Errol had his timing down by the 5th round. All true, A-Rod. Props to Errol. Fought a good fight. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Yeah. You know, I mean, his jaw's intact. I know one of my buddies, he lives in Texas and he's actually, I think he was like 30 minutes away from the fight. And he was like, man, I want to go. I don't know. Should I go? I'm going to look up the tickets. He's all, but I just don't know. I mean, having your teeth, you know, new teeth in your mouth, your jaw reconstructed, da, 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 da. He's like, I don't think he could pull this off. And I'm like, I don't know about that, you know, because fighters, Arthur Abraham had his jaw, you know, broken. And hanging. You know, I mean, boxers and fighters go through a lot. There is no such thing as 100% with a fighter. You know, they're going to obviously tell you that there's 100%, leading into the fight, but they always end up either telling the truth after the fight or years down the line, you'll find out. Like, either I had a cold, my left arm was hurting, my knee was hurting, my ankle was, I had a sprain in my ankle. There's always something. It's very rare that you find out a fighter's 100%. With Errol Spence, man, I it's really hard to pick whether or not he wasn't 100% in that fight, because like I said, his performance was 100% of what I saw. He controlled every round, you know? It's not like Danny wasn't trying. I really thought Danny was trying, but the jab of Spence really puzzled him. The movement of Spence puzzled him. The flinching and in and out of Spence really puzzled him. And here's one thing about what I like about Errol Spence that he does too, Amilcar, is that even when he's not doing much in the ring, he's still winning the round.
Yeah. And when you're boxing a counterpuncher that's waiting for the perfect shot, if you're that counterpuncher, it's going to be tough for you to win the close rounds. It really, really is.
Tough. Really, really, really tough.
I was really impressed by the Fundura kid. I told you about that. I called you.
Yes.
I'm telling you, if he just adds some feint to his attack, he's going to be serious problems for a lot of people. He's really sitting there in his punches. Granted,
I think the feint, just to add to your feint, I think a jab too.
Oh yeah.
You know, because I mean, look, he's comfortable of letting his hands go because that's really all he needed to do in this last fight, and he's probably that's all he's going to really have to do in a lot of fights because of his height and stuff. But one of these guys at 154, they're going to figure out how to give him angles where his legs. Cause there's one criticism I had about Fundura. Remember that I know the camp. I know the guys that are working with them. Red is a really good friend of mine. He calls me up. He's like, give me the honest truth. And the one thing I criticized with his legs, I said, dude, he's got to get his feet underneath them. And now that you see, his feet are really underneath them. He's able to really pack a punch. His inside game is actually really good. But the one thing that I noticed that every guy they put in front of him has been kind of tailor-made for him, where he doesn't have to really use footwork to cut off the ring or to, you know, shorten the distance and stuff. You know, Charlo or somebody else like that are watching and studying him, they can look at that and go, you know what? I know what I need to do to this tall guy is give him angles. Make him actually turn, and I could just start pot shopping from the side. You know, and notice that I don't have to stay at a distance and close in, because that's where he wants to be. You know, Fundura wants to be, you know, in the pocket with you in that phone booth fight style, where another guy's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to fight in the outside, because we haven't seen Fundura really – we don't know whether he has an educated jab or if he even knows if he has a jab.
We don't, because he hasn't had to use it, unfortunately. But look, if he can add that jab to what is already, I consider to be a really solid uppercut and hook game.
Yeah.
I mean, I really see this kid being able to do great things if he adds the jab. And obviously we have to see him test it against a higher level guy who's going to really test his chin. But I have seen him eat punches in the past, which I actually think is a problem, because he's eating punches he shouldn't be eating. We didn't really see that in this last fight, because he was just all offense. He didn't really have to think too much about his defense.
Last two fights has been all offense, you know?
Yeah.
His last fight, he was all offense. And then this fight that we just saw on Saturday on the pay-per-view card, all offense as well. And that's why I said there's questions there. We may not find any of that out at 154 because I hardly believe he's going to stay at 154. Maybe another year or two. I think that eventually he's going to start packing on some pounds. His man strength is going to kick in, and he's probably going to move up to 160 and then possibly 168. And you'll probably end up seeing him at 175, you know, 5-6 years from now.
You'd end up at cruiserweight, maybe heavyweight. You never know.
He's a massive, massive kid, you know. Yeah. And you know what, though? Being so lanky, that a lot of times when you're that lanky, you're really not that athletic yet. You know, you're really awkward, you're off balance, and that's what I saw, you know, 3-4 fights back. Was a very awkward kid that had a lot of height, so I didn't have a lot of hope for him in the beginning, you know. And that's why my criticism was like, dude, you guys got to get on his legs, you guys got to get his legs underneath them. He looks like a baby Bambi out there. I'm not really sure, you know what I'm saying. Might have to wait till he gets a little older. I don't know, but I could see they took it to heart. and they really went to work on that, where they got him to really kind of sit on his punches and just take baby steps going towards his opponents, which is good. But let's now add another weapon to the repertoire, which would be a jab, you know, which would keep a guy on the outside and kind of confuse them, where they believe, I got to get in the inside, where Fedora wants. That's what Fedora wants. He wants you in the inside. So confuse them by having a jab, and they're like, shit, this stick is in my face. I got to get in that pocket and start landing inside shots. And then Fedora's like, see, I didn't have to do much. I suckered you in. I trapped you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? The 154 division's got a lot of talent.
Oh, yes. They definitely
do. I mean, it's a hot division right now.
Who would want to fight him right now? Honestly, who would want to risk him? Yeah, you know, at 6'6", but like I said, you know, take nothing away from Charlo right now, who holds a title at 154. Take nothing away from him. He could probably get the job done, but that height is what's going to really puzzle you. Because let me ask you this. Who do you get to spar? I mean, who do you bring in as spar partners?
I mean, you'd have to fight heavyweights.
Exactly.
This guy's taller than Daniel Dubois.
Yeah.
This guy's taller than Kubrat Pulev, who's going to be fighting this weekend.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He's the same height as Anthony Joshua. And he's fighting at 154 pounds. It's ridiculous.
Yes, definitely ridiculous. You know, what I like about Fedora is how he likes to throw the uppercut, which is always great. Because when a smaller, shorter guy wants to get low to make the taller guy crouch down to throw his punches downward, it's always smart. I always love the fact that you would see like Lennox Lewis. If you try to get low on him, he'll pick your ass up by throwing an uppercut. And Fedora was doing exactly that. He was like making sure that your head was in position for his shoulder length so he could throw these punches. He didn't want you to go down, you know. And if you kept your guard up high, he would go underneath that guard. So Fedora, that really, honestly, is a student of the game. I like what I saw from him. But am I on the Fedora train yet? Not yet. I'm getting there.
Or if you're there, you're way at the end on the last car. Right. You're not up front with the conductor. So me, you know, look at the division and look at the division here in terms of PBC versus other promotions. He's with the right promotion. I mean, you got Jermell Charlo, yes. Erickson Lubin, Tony Harrison, Jason Rosario's already fought under PBC. You got Jarrett Hurd, right?
Yes, sir.
They have a lot of people lined up for it, and I'm sure, you know, Patrick Teixeira is going to, the Brazilian can fight under PBC,
yep.
Right? The one guy out of the PBC kind of group there that I'm really, really a fan of is Tim Zhu, and I'm sure he's going to be willing to step up and fight some PBC guys. So the PBC's got the 154s on lockdown, I think.
They certainly do, you know. And here's another thing is that Fedora is a really nice kid. As you saw in his post-interview, he was like, look, I'm not a trash talker. I'm not going to call anybody out. Excuse me, if you didn't learn from Sean Porter, if you just stay the nice guy, everybody's going to pass you up. You got to start opening up that trap and say, hey, this is the guy I need to fight. And if you're not doing it that way, you need to get on your management and say, hey, this is the guy they need to fight, you know, go up against.
Maybe he needs to get Angel Garcia as his manager. Get him do some talking.
Yeah. He didn't have a lot of talking on Saturday night, though, after that sixth round. I'm telling you.
Well, he did it, but the funny thing was he was, like, yelling at fans that were heckling him after the fight.
I know, dude. What kind of shit is that, man? Leave the old man alone. I'm alone. I think Angel's like my age, you know. Leave us older guys alone to be heckling us. Old enough to be your guys' daddies, goddammit. Fucking kids. Man. Kids. But okay, let's get to this, okay? Yeah. I thought the effort of Terrence Crawford showing up at the fight in Dallas, Texas, I thought that was a great effort. It shows that, you know what, he's motivated in wanting to fight Errol Spence. I thought he should have been there on the sideline waiting to be interviewed, hopefully after the post-interview that Errol Spence was giving to Fox, you know, but he wasn't there. He was only in attendance in the audience. But here's the thing. I don't know what happened, But I think Russell, Gary Russell Jr. hacked the post interview because I heard you'll see me next year at the in the summertime. What is that all about?
Well, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I know they've got beef going back to their times as amateurs, but does a guy who's 130 really want to step up and fight?
No, what I'm saying is that Errol Spence sounded exactly like Gary Russell Jr. by saying, "You'll see me next year in the summertime."
Okay, I was confused there because I did hear in the past that Crawford and Russell had some beef, so I got a little confused there. No, I see what you're saying. What he's probably alluding to is the fact that Terrence Crawford's going to be out of his top rank contract by then. And they don't want to leave any money off the table, meaning they don't want to give a piece of the pie to Bob Arum. So why not just wait? I mean, I hope the
fight has to happen. Listen, let me ask you this. Do you feel like it needs to happen in 2021? Guys that are tuning in right now, do you guys feel like it has to happen for 2021? Because if it doesn't, then it's just gonna die out. Like right now, being pumped for it, it's eventually you're just not gonna have any interest for it.
It can go a couple of ways. It can go to, unfortunately, I hope this never happens, but to where Bo Lewis went, which has never happened.
Right.
And a fight we've always wanted to see that never happened. It could go
Gamboa and Lopez, which it never happened.
Gamboa Lopez, a similar story. Or it could go, unfortunately, Manny Floyd. Happens, but happens too late, right?
Yeah. A-Rod is saying early 2022.
Right now, they're in their primes, but...
That's what I'm saying. It has to happen now.
Much longer, but he's not going to be in his athletic prime for much longer. He's already, what, 33? About to be 34?
Yeah.
So the fight does need to happen soon.
It needs to happen soon.
Special fight, meaningful fight that we all want it to be.
You know, I just don't want the air to be let out of the balloon for this fight. The steam is there. Go after it, you know. And I thought the initiative should have been Terrence Crawford going up there, doing a Hector Camacho Sr. rant, calling the guy out, or even like Pernell Whitaker back in the day. He jumped in the ring. After you won the fight, he would jump in the ring and say, "Hey, I want to fight you. Let's make this happen." You know, this is how you get the fans behind you. You know, so to me, it showed me that Terrence Crawford is a guy that's willing to want to go over there and make this fight happen. Maybe not Bob Arum, but definitely Terrence Crawford there, you know. And by hearing Errol Spence going like, "You'll see me next year," or didn't even want to bring up the mention of Terrence Crawford, that left me going like, "Ah, dude, you looked 100%. You should be willing, and you just got this win off of Danny Garcia." And in all honesty, your argument should be, my resume is better than Terrence Crawford at this time and at this moment.
It's definitely better at 147 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really think that's debatable. So just a reminder, everyone, you guys can call in if anyone wants to speak with us. The lines are open. It's 917-426-8296. Again, that's 917-426.
I'll put it up here right now. It's right up there. So if you guys want to call in.
Working. We're not testing this week. It's ready to go.
Yeah. I think the other thing that we need to talk about is because here's the thing is that if there is no talks of Spence and Crawford next, and Crawford obviously is in the top rank promotional realm, and Errol Spence is looking at someone else in the PBC world, because I mean, Sean Porter, you know, now a commentator, and honestly has gotten even more braver. He kind of came out of his shell being a broadcaster, you know, and having a podcast. Like, he understands that words really matter when you're trying to get a fight, because you're doing your self-promotion, you're marketing yourself, okay? But there's a guy out there that doesn't need that. There's a guy that doesn't really need to say a lot of words, okay? And that's Manny Pacquiao. So let me ask you this. Let's play our little game here. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. We have a call, right?
Yeah, we got somebody calling in.
Let's get our calls in here first, and then we'll go on to let's play promoted.
We got area code 214 on the line. Who is this?
is AJ.
What's up? You got a big fight this week. Are you ready?
I can't hear you.
I said you got a big fight this weekend, AJ. You ready?
Nah, what's going on, brother? What's on your mind?
What's up, bro?
Nah, man. You know, I got a good chin. I'm kidding. But when you guys look at, like, for example, the welterweight division today, mm-hmm. like with Crawford and Spence, and they're both kind of like pushing to their mid 30s, but back in the old days when like De La Hoya and Mosley was fighting, them guys wasn't 30 yet. So I mean, like, the correlation between that is so weird. How these guys are like now, these super fights are happening now while these guys are like almost out of their prime.
I agree. I mean, when Hagler fought Sugar Ray, actually, forget that. When Sugar Ray came out of retirement and people were saying he was too old, he was like 33. So times have definitely changed. Sports and see that athletes are getting bigger, stronger, faster, and are prolonging their careers. We look at a guy like LeBron and the success he's had in his mid and now entering into his late 30s. But you're absolutely right. It's totally changed. What you think, Dave?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's changed, though, because of the economics, you know. Money value is completely different than what it was then, you know. Fighters at that time, they had to fight these big fights in order to get those big paydays. Fighters nowadays, they don't really have to do a lot of that, you know. If they have over 100,000 followers on Instagram, they have negotiating power. That's not a bad thing, but it's a bad thing for us fight fans because we don't end up getting the fights we want to see, you know.
Yeah, it looks like AJ dropped off, but thanks for your call, AJ. Please call again.
Yeah, London Leftwood Combo puts out there, there's just too much marinating. I agree with you, bro. There is way too much marinating, and it really comes down to the greediness of promoters, you know? I mean, think about this, okay? Look, some people are going to go like, oh, you're a top rank hater. Then there's some people that are going to say, oh, you're a PBC hater. Oh, you're a DAZN hater. Dave, you're just a hater. Okay, just label me a hater. But I look at certain things, I go, what promoter, honestly, has been out there that's always tried to keep in-house fighting? You know, try to keep their fighter in-house to use all their resources before they decide to go, let's go for the big fights, okay? Bob's notorious for it. He's very notorious of it, okay? We didn't get Gamboa and Lopez. We didn't get Mayweather and Pacquiao till late, you know? He's
a poor version of Marquez Pacquiao.
Yeah, you know? And here's another thing is that Terrence Crawford, if you look at his welterweights, I mean, there's a reason why he's not above Errol Spence right now. Okay, look at the guys that he's been facing and look at the guys that Spence has been facing. It's a little bit better. It's not much better, but it's far better than that, you know. And Bob Arum and Top Rank are okay with feeding Terrence Crawford these crops of guys that they have available, because if you look at the history of every other Top Rank, look at Miguel Cotto. Miguel Cotto was getting fed a lot of guys that really didn't need to fight at that time. Even Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao was fighting guys who were out of their prime, that wasn't even that weight division. I mean, it's a trend that he has a lot to do with, you know. So, but here in Errol Spence as well, I mean, he's got to be at fault. If he's not talking about Crawford, there's a problem there.
Yeah, absolutely. She wanted to play promoter for a second, right, Dave?
A lot of guys that really didn't even fight. Absolutely, I did. Yeah, but I answered Don's question really quick. What do you guys think about Anthony Yard? I hate the Mayweather style for him, man. We were talking about this, me and a milk car on Saturday morning about this fight. Anthony Yard is his kryptonite is a jab. He just doesn't know how to get around it, you know. And that whole Floyd Mayweather shoulder, bro. We were talking about this in the car, and I was like, you know what that really stems from is that guys don't actually even incorporate it when they're hitting the hands mitts or they're hitting the heavy bag. If you look at Floyd, he incorporates it, you know. It's actually a timing, and it's actually a way for him to counter back, okay? And if you're not doing any of that, it's not going to work, you know. And these guys are actually thinking of that this is a real defense move. It is, but it's a defense move to counter back, okay? And it takes time, and it takes a lot of time to learn it and use it, and then learn it to use it when you need it, okay? Anthony Yard is just watching tapes of Floyd and goes, it works for the champ. It works for this guy. You know, he got through his fights and all that throughout his whole career. But and the truth is that, you know what? If you don't know how to use it and you don't understand what it's there for, there's no point of using that, okay? Here's another thing. A lot of trainers nowadays, they don't even teach you how to jab. They don't even know that there's a numerous amount of different jabs. There's just not one where you stick out. You know, there's the sword jab. There's a jab to the solar plex. There's a jab to, it's a short jab to make the guy get an inch closer so you can throw your right hand down. There's the stick to keep you off. There's the push jab to get you off balance. You know, there's just so many ways to use the jab. Okay?
I'll tell you who does teach how to use the jab. That's Pat Barrett, Lyndon Arthur's trainer. And Lyndon Arthur was peppering Anthony Yard with the jab. I mean, Lyndon Arthur was putting the jab in clinic. And he essentially beat him with one hand. He had a hurt right hand.
Yeah.
And he just jabbed his ass off. And I was really looking forward to watching that fight. I mentioned it on a round table. I mentioned that I was more excited about that fight.
Joe Joyce won his fight off a jab. Solely his jab.
But I was more excited about that fight in England than I was about the Martin Murray, Billy Joe Saunders fight. And the reason was I thought it was going to be much more competitive. And I thought that Lyndon Arthur had a really good shot at outboxing Anthony Yard. And that's exactly what he did.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what he did, you know. I only watched the highlights. I didn't catch the whole fight because I kind of figured, and as soon as I saw that jab started, you know, that was being established, it's the same thing with Danny Garcia. He couldn't get past Errol Spence's jab. He was having a lot of problems with it. And you know what? An educated jab, it makes the fight a lot easier. George Foreman said all the time on HBO commentating, you know, have a jab, it makes the fight a lot more easier. Now, Mark, what if Spence Science is due to Al promising him Manny, or he might be moving up to 154 fighting the stack PBC stable? Well, we're going to talk about that because we're going to play our game, which is let's play promoter here. So let's get that all set up here, Mokar, and we're going to play promoter here on Leaving the Ring.
Let's play promoter.
Well, so here's my question to everybody out there, okay? If you were the promoter of Errol Spence Jr. and you just got this great performance over Danny Garcia, was pretty much a dominant performance, a shutout over Danny Garcia, what route would you really want to take? Would you want to go after Terrence Crawford to be the unified welterweight champion of the world? Or would you rather go after Manny Pacquiao, an international star who really, honestly, people keep saying that he's on his way out, but he keeps proving that I'm here to stay. I still got a lot still left in me. Amilcar, what route do you take?
I mean, if you're Errol Spence or Terrence Crawford, you have to go after the other guy. So that's the fight that those two guys need to be chasing. Chasing Manny at this point, I really don't see the point other than chasing the dollar, which I guess is an important thing to chase. But let's face facts, the guy's entering his mid-40s.
Right.
What really should you be proving against a guy like that? I can see why Manny wants to prove that he can still keep up with some young guns. I mean, he clearly did that against Keith Thurman. But if I'm Manny, I'm going after guys like Conor McGregor and people who are going to bring me a name and who are going to let me show my skills. I'm not taking on young guys or younger guys in their early to mid-30s. I just don't see the point. He's already a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's already one of the best boxers ever to lace a pair of gloves. He doesn't need to be doing that.
You know, if look, I think what Al Haymon wants to do, but my thing is, my concern is the same summertime, because it obviously leaves Crawford out for 2022. But it is a good play move. If I was the promoter, Manny Pacquiao makes a lot of sense in Dallas, Texas, at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. It's going to sell out. They did that when Manny Pacquiao went in against Antonio Margarito. It was a big turn up for that one. So you know it's going to be massive. Spence is the hometown favorite. Manny Pacquiao is an international favorite. So it makes a lot of sense. For him to move to 154, it could be a strong possibility if Manny Pacquiao says no, or the fact that maybe Errol Spence is having problems. But I haven't heard any report about that, about him possibly having some problems, you know, staying at 147, especially the way he looked. He looked phenomenal. You know, I think as long as he stays sober and stays out of that crazy nightlife, I think he'll be fine staying there at 154 for another 2 years. What do you think?
David, I totally forgot to play promoter. I was just giving my own opinion.
Yeah. Well, you were playing promoter. I would always play promoter here on Leaving the Ring. I definitely
put Manny Pacquiao into a stadium. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. You put him in a stadium, and maybe that fight there. If I was a promoter, and I could be wrong with this, but I'm maybe thinking, like, is there enough? Has it generated enough? Not just with, I mean, no, the hardcore fans, they want it, okay? They want it as much as, like, they wanted Timothy Bradley versus Devon Alexander. If I'm looking at it from like that, I'm going like, well, I know the hardcore fans want it, but do the mass want it? Because let's be honest here, Crawford is not a household name yet.
No, he's not. And if you're a promoter, you essentially do what Jeff Horn's promoters did. You know, you drive a dump truck full of cash. You reverse it on a Manny Pacquiao's lawn in the Philippines and you invite him to a stadium fight. Unfortunately for Manny, that turned out to him losing against Jeff Horn. But at this point in his career, Manny's going to be doing the show, big business fights, the spectacle fights, the fights that are going to be in stadiums, just like you said.
Yep.
Anything less than that, I honestly don't think it's worth Manny's time.
Exactly. But here's
the thing, if you're Manny, who's essentially a self-promoter now, play promoter there. Who do you face? If I'm him, I'm taking on an MMA guy like Conor McGregor.
That's what I thought. You know what I mean? I mean, because let's play promoter. Let's go after Errol Spence. You know, you're obviously going to be the real underdog in that fight. You're going to have issues with them because Errol Spence is a big welterweight. He's a young welterweight. He's got a good jab, great boxing fundamentals. If I was a promoter, I would say, Manny, let's take that fight. Because if you lose, there's no shame in losing that fight. Because you can still get the Conor McGregor fight, which is another big fight that people will still come out to watch. Wouldn't they?
Yeah. And you could do that fight in England. You could do that fight in Ireland. You could do that fight in name the country. Conor McGregor is a big star too. So obviously in the United States, you could probably do that fight in Dallas, Texas. Arlington, Texas.
I mean, even Vegas. Go out to, you know, the Raiders Stadium. It's a massive event there because the one thing we know with Manny and McGregor is that there's going to be a knockout. Manny's going to go for that knockout, you know?
Yeah, and by knockout, McGregor's getting knocked out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, Manny's going to go for that knockout.
You know what I do too? Why not just do a fight where they fight each other in those little UFC gloves?
A
boxing match, but with those UFC gloves.
Are you trying to get Conor McGregor killed? Manny's still got his speed and his power, man.
The mainstream pundits like Skip Bayless to actually believe again that McGregor has a shot.
Oh, you know, it doesn't matter. He'll believe it.
They're going to be some kind of an advantage to McGregor and not Manny.
Chicago Prophet, Manny has a lot going on in his life, too. He's gearing up for a run as president of the Philippines. Well, there's that there, you know.
There's a great documentary, if anyone has Showtime, by the way, on Esmeralda Marcos, Philippines, and like the political dynasty there. You guys got to check it out. It's really, really good. And they kind of talk about the politics there. And you can kind of relate it to what Manny's doing, unfortunately.
Arrogant Boxing said, Manny is chasing Conor. He even signed with the same management company. Hey, see? I mean, that's what I'm saying. If I'm, we're playing promoter. I'm the promoter. I'm like, look, Manny, listen. You probably believe you're going to beat Spence, but a lot of us don't. Let's go make a shitload of money in Dallas Stadium, the Cowboy Stadium, fight Spence. You're going to give a valiant effort. We all know that because he's a warrior. One thing about Manny, he shows up to fight, okay? He tries his best. Even when he's injured, he tries his best, okay? I expect what the outcome of what we saw with Floyd Mayweather against Manny Pacquiao would be the same outcome of what Errol Spence would do to Manny. I don't think he would stop Manny Pacquiao, but I think he would raise your shot, you know, just too sharp, chop him up a bit, beat him up, and he would end up leaving Manny's face the way Danny Garcia walked away after that 12th round. I would say that's what's going to happen. But let's go for the golden goose after that, which would be Conor McGregor. Boom.
I'm thinking for Manny's sake. I'm playing promoter. I'm Manny's promoter right now.
Well, I mean, okay. How about Crawford's promoter?
Their prime, fight them themselves in their prime. Because you know what? None of those dudes are fucking with Manny 10, 15 years ago.
Oh, no. No, that's nobody was.
Manny who fought against Margarito and others at that time of his career, Cotto, Haddon, that Manny's a problem for all of these guys.
Exactly. No, I agree. But let's go play promoter. We're still playing promoter here. Guys, if you guys want to call in, you certainly can. 917-426-8296.
We're really going for Manny here.
Are they? How about
a huge hand speed advantage over Spence based on what I saw Saturday? He's probably right about that. Daniel chimes in too. I think Manny stops Spence. Errol Spence stop. Let me read that properly. Errol couldn't stop either undersized Garcia. This is true.
No, he couldn't. He couldn't. You know, but I still think that Spence carried Garcia, though. I think Spence carried him, to tell you the truth, you know? Mikey. I think he carried Mikey.
Yeah, I think he carried him, too.
Yeah. I think he tried to knock out Garcia, but I think that, you know what? I think there's a thing with Spence that I'm starting to see. Is the trend with him is that he's comfortable outboxing you. He's comfortable doing the right moves and not overcommitting or making mistakes the way we've seen with Terrence Crawford.
Absolutely.
Makes those mistakes because Crawford's willing to go in the fire. Like, it would have been a completely different fight if it was Danny Garcia and Terrence Crawford, in my opinion. Because Crawford would have left openings there for Danny to land some of those big shots, where Errol Spence left very small margins of error in that fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask you guys this: if you're Terrence Crawford's promoter, what do you do next for him? If no Errol Spence, where do we put him at? What do we go after? What do we do with him?
If you're Terrence Crawford's promoter, you don't re-sign him to that massive contract. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I agree with you. Because I wouldn't know what to do with him next. If I can't get Errol Spence.
I could have like three mansions in Beverly Hills for what I I'm his promoter, right? I get to say that?
Exactly.
I'd have like a two-bed, two-bath condo in Cabo. Okay, I'd have a mansion in Beverly Hills. Maybe a couple performance sports cars. Let me get out of this contract. I don't want to be a promoter. I'm out.
Sean Porter. Yeah, well, Sean Porter wants him. Andre?
Yeah, he does.
He wants him. It's Crawford that doesn't want him. Or maybe Aaron got in his ear and said, like, no, you don't need him right now. You don't need him right now, you know? If I'm playing promoter, I would be Terrence Crawford. I'd be my own promoter. That's what Terrence Crawford should be thinking. I need to be my own promoter.
Can't promote himself though.
I know he can.
You're David. I'm Terrence Crawford. Ask me a question,
Terrence. What do you do next to get in the ring with any of those PBC guys? Forget Errol Spence. Are you going to try to make a fight with Sean Porter or any of the other guys?
You hear that here? That's crickets.
Is that crickets? I thought Crawford. I mean, Terrence would answer it another way, but crickets. Yeah, Jesus.
All right, man. Let's move on here on the ring. If you want to call in, you certainly can. 917-426-8296. I agree with everybody. Porter. It has to be Porter. Yes, it has to be Porter. I love to see Porter. Andre says, free agent is the future. Michael Hunter is now a free agent. Chicago Profit. Porter and Thurman. Yes, if you guys were his promoter, that's exactly that a promoter should go after, is one of those guys. But it just doesn't look like, I don't got that warm feeling that we're going to end up seeing that happen. I think, honestly, Crawford's going to end up fighting Gary Russell Jr. Don't be surprised if that ends up coming out, you know, coming down to it and stuff. But hey, let's get to some previews and news here on Leaving the Ring. Anthony Joshua returns to the ring, and he's going to go against Pulev. Let me ask you here, Amilcar, what do you think about this fight? Do we see the old AJ come out, or do we possibly see the AJ from his last performance when he got over the win against Andy Ruiz to retain back his titles that he lost?
I think AJ's on his way.
Oh!
That's the Huggy Bear theme song. AJ's Huggy Bear now. Let's get him his music. Hold on. Let that rock for a little bit. Little jab, jab, huggy action. Little more jab, little hug. Little tap, tap, huggy, huggy.
Hey, really quick, before we even get into your thoughts about AJ and Pulev fight, Nato puts out there, let me put that up there really quick. If I'm Al Heyman, I tell Aramon Crawford, you beat Ugas first. Oh, dude, then Al Heyman's never going to, I mean, Bobham's never going to make that fight. That's too big of a risk there. There's no reward, you know, because Ugas would be a live dog against Crawford, in my opinion.
Ugas is, I'm going to throw this out here right now, and people are free to disagree, but Ugas is even fucking money with anybody at 147.
Yeah, I think he gives Spence problems, a lot of problems.
If he's got fair judges, Ugas is even fucking money, 50-50 against all of the guys at 147. I thought he beat Porter.
Yeah. Yeah, he did beat Porter, you know? But okay, let's get back to the AJ fight. You believe it's going to be nothing but hugs and kisses against Pulev.
Let that Huggy Bear rock, man. You know what's going to happen. AJ is going to hug. He has not been the same since the Anthony Joshua fight. You know, he's Huggy Bear. That's who he is now. You know, I think I referred to him as a kitty cat on one of our past podcasts. You know, I got two cats here in my apartment here in New York. And you know when cats are like facing off with each other? You know, they're kind of cat hunters naturally. They kind of look at each other for a long time.
Right.
Who's going to go second? Then they go at each other. Then there's a lot of hugging. Then one runs away. Then they hug again. AJ has been a different guy since he got touched up by Vladimir Klitschko. Since then, it's been nothing but a Huggy Bear action versus Carlos Takam, versus Joseph Parker, and versus Andy Ruiz. I mean, the AJ that fought Andy Ruiz does not even come close to resembling the AJ that was blasting out guys like Dillian White, Charles Martin, Alexander Povetkin. He was totally changed by the Klitschko fight. It's Huggy Bear.
It is Huggy. It is Huggy Bear. You know, and he did put on his dancing shoes against Andy Ruiz in the rematch. You know, this is one thing. I mean, Pulev is an old warrior, okay? He hasn't looked that great. His only chance is to land a big punch on, you know, Anthony Joshua, if Anthony Joshua decides to stay there, okay? The one thing that Anthony Joshua needs to learn and remember is that guys that are normally taller than 6'3 are not good inside fighters. Lennox Lewis learned that. The Klitschko's learned that. You know, he's got to learn how to use his height. He's got to learn how to use a jab. He's got to learn how to use a straight right. He's got to learn that when you get in close, you grab and you hold. You do the Huggy Bear, you know, move, okay? But I'm just very curious of, and I think it's too soon to find out whether AJ has found who he really is. I think he's always struggled. He's a very athletic guy, but I don't think he's a, like a fighter. Okay, we all know that he's not a fighter. He started boxing late. You know, he's not like a Tyson Fury who grew up in the fight game. That's why Tyson Fury is kind of like a freak in nature. He's the only guy that I know could be 6'7" and knows how to fight in the inside and knows how to box.
6'9".
Oh, 6'9". Yeah, that's right.
Or Lennox Lewis, who started boxing in his early teens. You know, Lennox Lewis could box. And let's face facts, like, he iced most of his opponents. And when he got knocked out, he didn't dance around in the rematch and hug and try to disengage. He went right at Rockman and sparked him.
Well, he set him up. Absolutely. He set him up. And we just haven't seen that from AJ. And that just tells you the inexperience that AJ has. You know, because Lennox, I mean, he had a pedigree there. For him to go back to the drawing board, he understood he could do that because you're always going to fall down first before you get up, before you get in the pro rankings. You're going to have disappointments. Guys got to learn how to lose before they learn how to win. And when you see champions come back from a loss, and especially like an explosive loss the way Lennox Lewis or even the way Vladimir Klitschko lost, to see them come back and become dominant, that tells you everything about them, you know, that they're on a different mindset. With Anthony Joshua, I'm not sure if he can get there. We're going to find out with Pulev. And Pulev is the perfect opponent to build your confidence, to get that confidence back, right?
And I hope I'm wrong, because I'd like to see a guy take it to Fury when they eventually meet. I'd like to see a guy that wants to box and like go into the fire and really trade and go to war. Unfortunately, right now, I'm not really seeing that. And if I see more of the Huggy Bear on Saturday, I'm going to still be excited about the Fury fight.
Put that music on. Put that music back on for the Huggy Bear.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to get out of the Huggy Bear, man. We don't need a pimp walking 1970s Huggy Bear that doesn't want to fight. We want a guy that really took it to guys back in the day. Go rewatch that Dillian White fight, Anthony. Come on, that's the Anthony Joshua we want to see.
So let me ask you, what's your prediction with this fight? You think Pulev has a chance of beating Anthony Joshua? I mean, if he's hugging or if he's running,
Anthony Joshua's got his size and his hugging to a 12-round unanimous decision.
You think it's going to be an ugly, boring fight? Yeah. That's what you're saying. That's your prediction. Are you 100 about it?
I don't want to say.
Come on, man. Let me ask you this. Do we need Paula White back to call in to give us the ooga, ooga, ooga to see if AJ will drop the Huggy Bear style?
The last time I was 100% in terms of a fight with Anthony Joshua, I was dead ass wrong. Against Andy Ruiz, I did not see that.
Well, I tell you this. This goes my prediction here with Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua has to do something in showing that he's really back into the talks of facing Tyson Fury. I mean, look, I don't think he'll be out of the talks. I think he'll be the easy prey of the top heavyweight guys out there that would want a piece of Anthony Joshua. If they wanted a piece of him back then, they're really going to want a piece of him now. Okay, so to me, it's really fighting for the respect. Okay, does he have it in him to fight for that respect? I'm not really sure.
Or is he going to hug?
That's what I'm saying. If he does any of that, then we know exactly where he stands, that this is where he believes he's going to cruise, that he's going to cruise all the way through in boxing history of playing it safe, which we all know it eventually that ends, because you're going to have to face one of these guys, the big boys.
He's slowly turning into Jameel McClain.
Ooh.
He's slowly, I'm telling you, this is what I see. He's slowly turning into Jameel McClain.
Oh, you're ruthless. You're ruthless tonight.
Lewis, heavyweight, but he's slowly going into the Jameel McClain heavyweight. And it's just lucky for him, he fought a guy who, you know, ate his way out of the heavyweight championship of the world.
Hmm.
Drank his way, ate his way, partied away his heavyweight championship. I mean, that's why Anthony Joshua still has his titles.
Yep. Yep. So, you know, I'm same thing here. I mean, a pull-up can get those old legs, oil them up, and move in there and create something with Anthony Joshua, because you can make him uncomfortable, which is in that inside pocket, what forces him to open up and start throwing wide left hooks and rights. He can make something happen. But I still think that Anthony Joshua has the power to stop Pulo because he has so much wear and tear. But I'm going to go with you. I think the prediction is going to be a 12th-round boring decision for Anthony Joshua. I don't think we're going to get anything. I don't think we're going to read anything out of Anthony Joshua that just other than the fact that he's comfortable holding on to these titles with the Huggy Bear style.
They're already lining up the excuses, too, with stuff like, oh, there's not going to be a big crowd. You know, Anthony's used to fighting in a big crowd. This is going to be different. We don't know if he's going to get as excited for this.
That's great.
You're right. Oh, my God. The thing is, say what you will about Pulev. He's a good boxer, mm-hmm. and he's smart enough and skilled enough to survive in a fight.
Yeah.
You know, he pulled the Klitschko because he was actually going for it. You know, well, I think that.
If no jab, if you have no jab, which I'm not sure Anthony Joshua is going to have a jab with this fight, I think he's going to rely on his athleticism, which is run and move and grab. That's why I say Pulev might have a chance. Because if he doesn't have to worry about some, you know, a jab to keep him on the outside, and if he could bum rush Anthony Joshua the way Rockman did to Lennox Lewis, or the way Andy Ruiz was able to get to him, then he's got something. But does he have the legs and the hand speed to reach Anthony Joshua? I mean, take nothing away from Anthony. You could say whatever you want. He hugs a lot, but he's still got power. And he's a big athletic heavyweight.
He is. He's a big athletic heavyweight. Absolutely. And the thing is, his instinct used to be to trade and go to war when he got hit, which is actually what caused the knockout with Andy Ruiz. He got too overconfident. He went in there trying to hook with a guy who's shorter and with shorter arms than him. And then when he got hooked, he did try to fight for a little bit, but Rob McCracken out there in England, they've been working on survival. Like, that's what the second fight. They worked on survival. They worked on not engaging when you get touched.
Right.
And you saw it. He got touched, and it was almost like, oh, I want to fight. Oh, no, wait a second. I got to go defensive, and I've got to hug. You could see it. You could see it playing out in the fight. Personally, I would have liked to see him do what Fury did and get with a offensive-minded trainer that really focuses on the jab, like Sugar Hill out of the Kronk gym. I think that would have been really good for Anthony Joshua. I think personally that he's met his limits with Rob McCracken. Mm-hmm. And Rob McCracken's actually doing him a disservice at this point, at least in terms of having him be an exciting fighter.
Well, that's why we watch the fights, to see what's going to happen next. And let's see where AJ's at in his mindset right now in his career. Could he get back to killer instinct? Could he come back? Could he, you know, change the minds of all of us boxing fans and thinking that he may be a threat? Because right now, you got to admit, he is the weakest link in the heavyweight division.
It's a lot of this on Saturday. Get ready for it.
Oh, man. Well, here's the next question here. Floyd Mayweather made his announcement yesterday that he's going to get in with the YouTube star, Logan Paul. Logan Paul lost this fight against KSI. And I don't know if he's fought anybody out after that. But I get a lot of these questions from casual fans, even from the locker room app. Guys that do shows, they ask me to be on there. I just don't have the time. But, you know, going like, do you think Floyd Mayweather's ruining his legacy? Yeah, absolutely he's ruining his legacy. But, you know, I mean, that's the dumbest question, right? I mean, wouldn't you think he's ruining his legacy by fate? What is he getting out of fighting Jake Paul besides just a shitload of money?
Oh, man, that's too funny. A guy that calls himself the greatest fighter of all time is fighting a guy that just lost to a guy that plays video games.
Oh, my God. Who's going to buy this fight? Are you going to buy the fight? Let me ask you that first off. You didn't buy the Tyson and Roy Jones fight, but would you buy this Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul fight?
No. But I will find a screen for it.
Guys in the chat room, people are listening right now. Will you buy this fight? Do you think? I mean, at the price range that they're asking for a 24-something, what is it, $24.95, starting right now, if you buy it right now, that's where you get locked in. But then when it gets closer to the fight, I believe it's they're marking it up to like 69-something, almost close to 70 bucks, getting closer to the fight night. I mean, who's going to buy this fight? I'm just curious. Who's going to buy this fight? Because I know a lot of folks got duped into buying the Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr., but at least those were two legendary fighters. We got one legendary fighter versus...
an 0-1 fighter that lost to a video game player.
Arrogant Boss, what do you guys think the rules are going to be for this fight? It's an exhibition. You know, so it's pretty much... let me remind you. Floyd did another exhibition back in Japan. I can't remember the kid's name. He knocked him out. He blew him out. And really, honestly, it's a fight. They're not going to hold back here. You know, Floyd's going to look for the KO if he can get the KO. I mean, he's a big kid, though. I give Logan Paul, he's a very sizable guy. He's sick, I think he's like, what, 6 foot, 6 foot one? Maybe even 6 foot two. I'm not really sure. Don't know much about the kid yet. Only thing I know about the kid is that he doesn't know how to fight. But I'm just like, when I went to work today, one of my managers is like, hey, dude, do you think Floyd's really going to fight my guy? I don't know. They're talking about it. And he's like, that's going to be crazy, bro. Like, I don't know if I'm going to buy it, but I think it's going to be crazy. And I'm like, you know what, though? A lot of people probably end up buying it, especially these kids in this generation, these gamers. A lot of them are going to buy it. So I don't think it's not going to do well. I think it's actually going to do very well. But what I'm asking is my hardcore boxing brothers out there, are you going to buy it?
I mean, next you're going to be hearing about Floyd fighting Brian Kenny or maybe Larry Merchant.
Well, I'll tell you this. If nobody wants...
beef with those two guys?
With who?
Larry Merchant and Brian Kenny from back in the day.
I love Chicago Prophet. He said, I'll order it. I won't order it, but I'll find a friend who probably will. I'll find the suckers. Is that what you want to say, Chicano Prophet? I'll find the sucker. I know a lot of suckers that will buy that fight. If my compadre Pablo's listening, Pablo, everybody, we're all going down to your house, Mato, because we know you're going to buy that fight. I really want to know, are you going to buy this fight? I want to know so bad that I wrote a song about it in Milk Card. You want to hear the song? I wrote a song about it. Okay?
Let's check it out.
Let's check it out here. Ooh. I think the trash. I think this fight's so trash, but here you go.
Somebody had a rough night.
I want to throw up. I do.
Bring up the stroke, yeah.
Who wants to watch this shit? Who wants to watch it, man? Me or your
dumb ass. That shit is fucking trash.
I agree. Yes, yes, they are. That's why Floyd's doing it. Logan can
win. I use this right now.
Are we that desperate? I think we are.
Thank you, COVID-19. Get the fuck out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't see it pretty easily these days.
That shit is fucking trash, dog. Get the fuck off.
Oh, who's going to buy it?
Gotta eat dinner, man.
That's going to be... does Floyd Mayweather still have a record label? Because I want to submit that to him and see if I can get that as a hit single.
Records. Filthy Records. They're going strong.
They are. They could use this track, you know? Who's going to buy it? Nobody.
Nobody.
Oh, man. Floyd Mayweather, what is he going to do against this kid, Logan Paul? I think he's going to do exactly what he did to Conor McGregor. He's going to walk him down, let this kid spend all his energy. He's just going to pick him apart. That's what he should do, okay? But, dude, wouldn't it just be great if this kid did land a big shot and knock this fucker out for just disrespecting this sport? Which you can't – it's really hard to disrespect boxing. Boxing has just a million ways of finding a way of how to, you know, kick itself in the balls and shit. But I just think it would be hilarious if that's the way Floyd ends his career, by getting dropped, by even getting dropped by a YouTube gamer guy.
No, it's actually a guy that lost to a YouTube gamer guy. Let's give the YouTube gamer guy some credit. This guy.
Yeah.
Now you can say, you know, Eric Lorto was mentioning the point that he thought the guy won, which you could make the case that he did win the fight. But at the end of the day, he couldn't knock out a guy who plays video games.
No. So,
you know, it's unfortunate that this is what Floyd has resorted to. I guess
it tells you it pretty much. I don't think he needs the money. I think what it is with Floyd is that he sees like the talks of Pacquiao, Conor McGregor. He just saw Tyson and Roy Jones. This guy needs to be fed. You know, his ego needs to be fed.
Yeah.
You know, and well, I think that's what it comes down to. It, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen the way the guy dresses? He doesn't have a fashion sense and stuff. He wants to still look like he's like 16 years old. And he sees that this guy, you know, Logan Paul, like, hey, I can get into the little kiddie club here. So let me face this guy.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So the big question, is Floyd Mayweather ruining his legacy? I thought he started ruining his legacy a long time ago, even before getting in with Conor McGregor. And fighting the kid over in Japan and now fighting this guy. This is just like the icing. But I thought like facing Andre Berto as your retirement fight was pretty bad.
I thought it started even before that. I thought it Same started here. when he didn't fight Acelino Freitas, Jose Casamayor, Kostya Zou. You know, well, once he left 130, it was cherry pick Floyd. As in he
Well, after he fought Jose Luis Castillo, it was cherry pick Floyd. You know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's absolutely. After he beat Castillo the first time, and then got
rematched
him.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it was cherry pick city, really.
Yeah, you know, he put on his promoter hat. You know, let's play promoter. That's what he did.
I mean, I can't say I blame him. I wanted to fight Arturo Gatti and not Kostya Zou. I would have wanted to fight Ambe Mitchell and not Margarito. You know, remember the Sean Bay Mitchell fight?
Yeah.
That was his foray into the welterweight division.
Yeah, didn't fight Mosley at lightweight. He avoided that fight. Didn't fight Antonio Margarito at welterweight. He avoided that fight. Retired out even.
Like Kostya Zou at 140.
Wouldn't fight Miguel Cotto in his prime.
Nope.
Didn't fight Paul Williams.
Nope.
A lot of names out there that he decided not to go. And when he made his comeback, remember this, he fought Juanma Marquez.
And didn't make the catch weight.
Yeah, didn't even make the catch weight. When he fought Canelo, he made Canelo fight at a catch weight.
He didn't fight at a catch weight. But what I'm saying with Marquez is he established the catch weight and then just decided he wasn't going to weigh in at that catch weight.
Yeah. If Floyd really, honestly, if he really cared about his legacy and his sport and the sport, he would have said, hey, I'll fight fucking Crawford, or I'll fight Spence, or I'll fight, you know, even Manny again. You know, I'll give Manny another fight, okay? But I think what it really just comes down to is that he loves money and he loves the limelight, and he's more of a celebrity now, which, hey, if that's what you want to do. But I really honestly don't think it affects boxing. I think it's separate. You know, just like the way Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. fight, to me, it's a separate – it has its own identity, you know? It doesn't really get into the you know, like the fact is, oh, look, this, you know, boxing – I see a lot of guys come, that's why they're saying, boxing's ridiculous. This really hurts the sport. You know, this is ruining the sport. No, it doesn't. It doesn't do anything.
No,
sport.
It doesn't ruin the sport. It just hurts him.
Yeah.
And what
exactly.
We think of.
Yeah.
But boxing will move on. It always does.
Exactly. When I go again, who's going to watch this fight? Nobody. All right, guys, man, thanks for joining us there on Leaving the Ring. We'll see you guys back here on the show Monday. We're back on a regular schedule at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern time. Remember to enjoy your weekend. Don't drink and drive. Most of us are on lockdown, so you can't even do that. So don't drink and walk because you will spill your beer. I'm Mel Carr. Till Monday again, brother.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, everyone.
I wanna throw up, 'cause this fight is trash. Who wants to watch this shit? Not me or your dumb ass.
That shit is fucking trash.
Are people that stupid thinking Logan can win?
Are you serious right now?
Are we that desperate? Thank you, COVID-19.
Get the fuck out.
Now who's gonna buy it?
Nobody. Are you serious right now?
Who's gonna buy it?
Nobody. Get the fuck out.
Who's gonna buy it?
That shit is fucking trash, dog. Get the fuck off.